won't try to beat up on it. Just say they won't prevail. And so anybody says it'll be a bed of roses, the moment you get salvation, I guess you don't have the same type of salvation that we have and don't have Bible salvation. And so I praise the Lord for that. I'm glad to be saved this morning and raised as a pastor's kid all the way up in Maine. And in spite of all that, God still saved me as a young man and saved at the age of 5, called to preach when I was 8. And I praise the Lord for that and just put something in our hearts, just knew that this is what God would have for us going through life. God called us to be with the Rock of Ages about 10.5 years ago, and praise the Lord for that. Wouldn't trade it for the world. And my precious wife, Crystal, Peter's 9 years old. Ruthie just turned 6 a couple weeks ago. And they were all able to be over there in the Philippines with us on that campaign. Got to take part in giving the gospel out. And to be able to take John and Romans and New Testaments and to be able to hand them out into the hands of those that have never had it before. And so I praise the Lord for that. And I praise the Lord for a goodly heritage, what the Lord's doing in the ministry. And God's continuing to open doors for us. And I know you've heard all about that Philippine trip, but there's probably aspects of it that you may not have heard. We had one man that told us, we got to testifying at McDonald's after we got out of school one morning. And man looked up at us with tears in his eyes, Brother Brian McMorris. And he said he had a 15-year-old boy walk up to him. He'd just led him to the Lord. And he'd trusted Christ, went back and sat down in his seat. And he said, Brother Peter, he said, that man, he said, after we dismissed, that young man walked up to me. He said, with tears coming down his face, and he said, would you please come back and tell my friends what you told me this morning? And he said, they sure do need it. And as I thought about that, I said, boy, how many young people sitting around this world need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And someone that's never been able to take it to them, someone who's never had the opportunity. We were over in Ghana, West Africa, and the door is open over there. I'm not saying revival's taking place, but there is a mob mentality that takes place, and it doesn't matter whether they're upset or they're trying to get a copy of the Word of God. And we were able to hand out, oh, probably about 30,000 New Testaments while we were over there. And literally, we thought some of our missionaries were going down for the last time. And because as soon as you'd open a box of scriptures, literally they would mob you trying to get their hands on a copy of the Word of God. And a desire and an eagerness to be able to get their hands on it. And not only for them, but they'd come back and say, can I take one back to my mom? Can I take one back to my dad? Can I take it back to my school kids? And we could give them cases of scripture and trust them to be able to go hand it out everywhere that they went. And God was sure good to us. But I thought about this. I thought about, there is such a great reception of the Word of God. You hear about it in places like the Philippines. You hear about it in places like Ghana, West Africa. And they both speak English. Those countries are wide open. We can get the gospel in there. But as I thought about it, and I thought about when we had our team over there, I gathered our team together, and I told them, I said, we've experienced something that very few Christians back in America get to experience in their lifetime. The opportunity to be able to take the Word of God and someone take it from you. I said, you can go downtown here and stand on the street corner and stand there with a brand new Bible all day long, and you'll come home with that Bible. Because they all have it at the house. I said, but, and here's where we got to. I said, even back in America, their lack of reception for the Word of God does not negate our responsibility to take it to them. Because we're not responsible for their end. Doesn't matter if they take it or they don't take it. We're responsible to give it to them. Whether they accept it or not. We've been on the mission field. Been up in Ukraine, Latvia, Lithuania. Literally, when you take a gospel tract and hand it to someone, that they turn around and they read it and turn back around and hand it back to you. we think they're rejecting us, but it's not us. It's just the Lord. We've done. We can pillow our head at night knowing that we've done what God's commanded us to do. And so we'd ask that you'd pray. We have literally country after country that is opening their doors and allowing us to be able to get in and get the gospel out. And we printed our gospel material, and somehow one of our gospel tracts, little booklets, made it over into the country of Nigeria. And we received a letter back that it was sitting in a library of Nigeria. Now, mind you, that nobody in our ministries ever set foot in Nigeria. We've never shipped material into Nigeria. We know some church planting missionaries that have gone in there that perhaps knew about us and had some of our material. But here's this man walked into a library, and here's one of our gospel booklets sitting in the library. Picked it up, sat down and read it. Had 120 of his friends that he took it to. And they wrote us a letter with 120 names on it saying every one of us have read this booklet and trusted Christ as our Savior. Now, here's the thing. Nobody can take credit for that except for God. He just put the gospel exactly where it was needed at exactly the right time. And so we'd ask that you'd pray. We have a lot of things that are taking place this year. And we will have, of course, you know about the campaign taking place in the Philippines in September. We will be turning around doing another campaign in West Africa, the country of Ghana, the first 2 weeks of November. And do be praying. We do have a container of material. It'll be about 230,000 New Testaments in John and Romans that, Lord willing, with His provision, we'll be shipping it out the end of April. Lord willing, April the 29th. We'll be shipping that out, getting it over there. It'll be about $6,000 worth to be able to get it over there. And then it'll be there ready for us to be able to show up, be able to get that into the hands of those who have never had it before. A lot of the pastors coming in, get it back into those remote villages, some that don't even have a church building, but yet be able to get it back there, have them with the tools that they need to be able to see souls saved. I do want to share a verse with you. Let me share a verse with you. I was praying this morning and thinking about this thought, okay? This thought of bridging the gap. Of bridging the gap. For the sake of time, I'm not going to carry you completely through the Bible. But in Genesis chapter 12, we have the first mention of the Abrahamic covenant that God gave to Abraham as He promised that He would make of him a great nation and offered him pretty much the world, said your descendants will be as the sands of the sea. But I want you to see the wording that God used here in verse 3 when God blessed Abraham. Look what He said. He said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, look at this, shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, I circled that in my Bible because it was interesting, because we always look at Abraham as the patriarch of the nation of Israel. But yet at this time, when God was blessing Abraham, God was not just saying that in thee is the nation of Israel going to be blessed. But He was saying that through you, in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's you and I. Now, the next time that God gave him this promise, He didn't just say all families of the earth, but He said all nations of the earth shall be blessed. So God's focus back at the beginning, not just the nation of Israel, although I understand Bible interpretation that they are God's people. I understand that. But God had His vision and had His mindset on someone larger than just the nation of Israel.
Yes, sir.
And it was on all nations, all families of the earth. Well, for the sake of time, if you were to go this afternoon and read over in the book of Romans chapter 5, when the 24 elders are gathered around the throne and they're singing that new song that the angels know not of.
Yes, sir.
For thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. And here's what they sing. Here's what we sing in the future. Hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And boy, as I thought about that, I said, here's the promise in Genesis chapter 12 that through Abraham, all families and nations of the earth will be blessed. In Revelation chapter 5, here they are, someone from every kindred and people and tongue and nation gathered around the throne of God. Now, how is it that that gap is bridged? That's where we are. That's where we come in, because Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we see where God says we're going to be. We see in the future where God has us. But what takes place in between? That's up to us. Now, I want to give you this passage of Scripture just to illustrate that principle of bridging the gap in 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, I'm just going to read this to you and honestly just make a couple points and let you chew on it. Because God has allowed us so many times, we get so locked in on our little circle that we're in. And we fail to see the big picture that God has for us. Do you realize we are part of something that is reaching around this world? Young people have the opportunity to invest their lives in something that's going to reach this world. Honestly, if God calls you to pastor a little church somewhere, fine. That's wonderful. But God's allowed this gospel to go places beyond where we can just reach by ourselves. And it's called bridging the gap. I believe, honestly, according to the Word of God, when we get to heaven, I believe there's going to be someone representing every kindred, every people, every tongue, and every nation around this world. I believe it. I'm simple enough to believe the Bible. But I also believe we can be part of reaching them. I do believe that. If I did not believe we could reach this world, I'd close my Bible and head to the house this morning. I believe we can reach the world. I believe we can get the gospel out there. God wouldn't give us a command if we couldn't fulfill it. Same way He said, be filled with the Spirit. He wouldn't give us a command if it wasn't possible. He didn't say go into all the world if it's not possible. Let me read this to you, 2 Kings chapter 7, and I'm going to sit down. Look what verse 1 says. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Now, for you preachers out there, that's another whole study on itself right there. Go study the windows of heaven. There's only about 3 times that they're mentioned throughout the Word of God. And there's only 1 time that they're opened, and that's in Genesis chapter 6 when the flood takes place. And the world couldn't contain it. The other time that they're mentioned is Malachi chapter 3 when he said, prove me and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so much that you can't contain it. So this man had no idea what he was saying before God. He was saying, if the Lord were to make windows in heaven, and Elisha said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes and shalt not eat thereof. Now here's where the gap needs to be bridged. They are sitting today in a great famine to such a point that they are killing and eating their own children. Go back and read chapter 6. That they're eating dove's dung. It is so desolate in the land that they are taking anything that they can find and putting it in their mouth for nourishment. Well, then the man of God steps up and says, hey, 24 hours from now, it's going to be in abundance. Looks like Genesis 12 to Revelation chapter 15 to Revelation chapter 5 to me. That here we are, all the families of the earth will be blessed, And then here they are gathered around the throne. How's that all going to take place? In 24 hours, how are we going to have enough food? How is this need going to be reached within 24 hours? Then he tells the story of four lepers. Four lepers that are seated outside the gate. Four lepers that are outcast, that are not allowed to meet with the general congregation. Four lepers that have no hope except to sit there and die. Bible says they had a conversation amongst themselves. They said, okay, if we sit here, we die. If we go back into the city, there's a famine there. We're going to die. They said, let's at least go cast ourselves on the mercy of the Syrians. They might feed us, but if they don't, then so we die. It's A, B, or C. We're all going to die. So they decided to get up, and I want you to see just a key phrase, and here's the thought. You know this story if you've been in church any length of time. Verse 5 says, they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost, and I underline that word uttermost in my Bible, where did God tell us to go? Unto the uttermost part of the earth. When they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. Now, you can just read the story. You understand what's taking place here. Here they are, show up. The place is empty. They eat, they drink, they load up on gold and silver and raiments. But I want you to see a key phrase and a key thought in this passage of Scripture. In verse 5, when does it say that they rose up and started moving? The Bible says, and they rose up in the twilight. Now you say, what's so important about that? That's just saying when they started moving. Okay, look down at verse 7. It says, wherefore they arose. This is talking about the Syrians. Wherefore they arose and fled when? In the twilight. Now all these were four lepers. They probably couldn't even run. They couldn't even walk fast. Their toes were probably eaten off. Their fingers were probably eaten off. They're probably just gimping along. But yet, as soon as, and here's the principle in the Bible, God moves when we move. In the twilight, when the lepers got up, and said, we're at least going to try to do something. God moved. God didn't just sit by and say, I want to see how far they'll go. No, when they got up and decided to do something, God got up and decided to do something. And they stepped in there, and everything they could ever dream of was laid out in front of them simply because they said, we're not just going to sit here and die. We're not just going to sit here and die. We're going to try to do something. Even if it costs us our life. God gave them an abundance. Now here's what I don't understand. I never could out of that passage of Scripture. You got four men. Their only choice in life is death. And they started taking gold and silver and raiments and started hiding them. They started storing up. What were they going to use it for? Their only choice was to die. That's what they said. So why have the big savings account back there? Because they were going to die. So they came back and they said, hey, we're not doing well here. They said, if we don't go tell someone about how good God's been to us, they said, some grief's going to come upon us. And so they echoed it in the ears of the king that afternoon. And said, let me tell you
how God's provided, how God's taken care of us. Can I tell you, we have a world that is out there and waiting. They're waiting for us, but we're just storing up. But our only choice in life is to die. So why have it all stored up where nobody knows where it's at? If they would have died that night, them treasures would have still been buried. Word had not gotten back to those that needed it most. And they died with the good news. And the way we are today, we hold the greatest news that's ever come this side of heaven. And we store it up. We hold on to it. And what happens when we die? It dies with us. Unless we get up and say, hey, we're not doing well. Yeah, we've got all the gold and the silver and the raiment. But if we don't tell anybody, we're not doing well. We're not doing well. We have to take this good news. You never hear about those four lepers ever again. My assumption is they died. But because they got up, and because they let their voice be heard, they delivered an entire city from destruction. That's what God has allowed us to be able to be a part of, is to be able to take this gospel to those that are not just locked behind bars physically, but those that have no hope, trying to do everything they can do to get to heaven. And all we have to do is go and say, hey, look what God's done for us. God did it for an old leopard. He'll do it for anybody. He chose to work in the heart of a leper before He worked in the heart of the king too. There's a whole lot more. You just go back in there and study that passage. What God's allowing us to do. And guess what? Within that 24 hours, that gap was filled. They bridged the gap. God chose to use four lepers to bridge the gap. And you know something? God's choosing to use us to bridge that gap between Genesis chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 5 of getting every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation gathered around the throne of God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we sure love You today. God, I'm so glad that You've chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the things that are wise. Thank You for choosing the simple things to confound the things that are mighty. God, thank You for choosing to use just sinners saved by the grace of God. Father, may we see a city, may we see a people that's bound up without Christ, with no hope of life whatsoever. But God, if we'll just get up and start moving and doing what You'd have us to do, then Lord, You can make them to hear the gospel. And so Father, have Your will and way in our lives. We sure do love You. Thank You so much for today. In Jesus' name, amen.